So
I'll check on that, because I hear that quite a bit. Of course, the district has a lot of rural.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, in this being an industrial park, right. There's a real need.
Oh, I'm not development like that, but you can hear stories. I was talking at a meeting last week with librarians. It's amazing how many kids in the district still, their parents have to drive them and park outside the library.
To get
internet so they can do their homework. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sit in the car outside at night. So
yeah.
We're just assuming it's around everywhere in the district. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Even in, I mean, this is not even a half mile from here.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
you would think that would be.
Yeah, it's not available.
Yeah. It's in InBev's backyard.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, thanks a lot.
Thanks again. Thanks for coming in. Appreciate that.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks.
Bye, guys.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
So, on that spectrum, I suggested to Al that he wait till the first meeting in January when the new board's in place. But we didn't budget anything for this next year. Certainly, there's always the opportunity to use unallocated fund balance if the board wanted to move forward with it. Yeah, it is. Okay. But go ahead, Al.
Yeah. So. I got a proposal from Spectrum, you know, the total construction cost to get high-speed cable service into all 10 of our pump stations in the highway garage. Construction cost is just under $86,000. They have allotted us a $60,000 construction credit, which makes our, you know, out-of-pocket cost about $26,000. As you know, this has been something that we've struggled with for a long, long time. And the reliability of Verizon's copper in that area has continued to deteriorate. We're at the point now where if we have rain, our highway garage is out of phone service for a minimum of 24 hours every time it rains.
I thought, didn't we, though, go to a...
We have a cellular. We do have a cellular data connection there. It's not the fastest by any stretch of the imagination, because the internet service or the cell service there is not the greatest either. Bottom line is we're struggling with this. At the very least, there is going to be, we need to do something with our pump stations. The fact that we have unreliable copper communications with our pump stations during wet weather events is a real concern, because when you really need those pumps, and if something goes down and it's not relayed back to the central office at WEP, well, then we have a problem in the form of a sanitary sewer overflow, which is a real mess. So at the very least, even if we take out West Entry Road Pump Station and the highway garage of this proposal, I'm going to be bringing it back in front of the board at the next meeting to see where we want to go. I would say that we want to at least get the 11 pump stations, excluding 2735 West Entry Road Pump Station and the highway garage, done, which would lower, we wouldn't have any out-of-pocket cost other than the $99 connection fee, and actually our communications cost would go, we're paying almost $70 a month right now for the phone lines into those buildings. They would drop to about $50 a month, so there's a little bit of a savings month to month on the communications lines and no real out of, yeah.
So why don't we do that?
Well, we probably can. I have to have her take those two locations, the 2730 West Entry Road, which is the highway garage, and the 2735 West Entry Road pump station out of it, and then figure out what we're going to do for
a month. What is this?
This is a service contract. It has the cost lined out in it further down, the construction cost by site.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
I think it does.
Yeah, I see it all.
Someplace in here,
page,
I believe, the
construction. Yeah, that's first.
I think it's page 3 of 9.
Old copper lines.
What's that?
This
Do they even service those old cars?
Well, that's the problem, is they've stopped servicing.
Well, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so this does not have, I printed the, I sent you the wrong, there's a, this spreadsheet here has the construction costs in it by site, but that's the out-of-pocket number, not the whole, the itemized, but the two sites on West Entry Road of that $86,000 total construction cost, almost $62,000 of it is those two sites. So,
and why are they giving us a credit?
They say that for municipalities, they'll spend up to $5,000 per site construction cost for new services. So,
you want to wait?
I think we'll wait, and I'll get this contract revised to take those. If you know, or I'll talk it over with the board and see the new board and see what they want to do.
Now, if we did this, is there any other potential customer along the route that could?
The ice arena right now, and the the storage BNC storage would be the other one.
So can they help us pay for it?
Potentially. I mean, I don't know if the ice arena is in a great place financially right now. BNC storage, I don't know if they necessarily need internet.
How's Inbound? Are they covered now?
Yeah, they've feed off of a dedicated fiber trunk that runs down 31. So they're fine.
They're happy.
Yeah, they're fine.
Too bad.
Yeah, because they would be able to lean. Yeah. You know, but Giovanni is on a private fiber line that's really expensive, and so is Agrana. I think Giovanni's paying upwards of $2,100 a month for data service through a private fiber line. And I'm sure Agrana's paying a similar cost because they're both on the same piece of fiber.
Can they come off of that fiber and get on this?
Well, they would have to do another further extension up 60 Road that they'd have to pay for out of pocket.
Has ESDC, do they have any funds available to enhance the corporate park?
No, I've been, one of the things that I've heard rumor of is that the rail, ESDC is going to sell the rail to Finger Lakes Railroad. And supposedly Finger Lakes has potential buyers for two sites, the two remaining vacant sites along rail, along the rail that need rail service. So there's a potential that if Finger Lakes takes the railroad from ESDC, we could have two new tenants north of 60 Road in the industrial park, which would be good to see those tracks running and used and you know, two new industries here.
Is that New York Susquehanna line?
New York Susquehanna is the one over at Cooperstown, right?
Yeah, the guy's out of Cooperstown.
Yeah. Finger Lakes is a separate one, I thought.
Susquehanna is the one that runs by the mall.
Yeah.
Down, okay.
Yeah, I think Finger Lakes is, I don't know if he owns Finger Lakes too or not. Yeah, I know there's a local guy that's bought up a bunch of those little railroads that were in New York State. Yeah. I don't know if...
I've been dealing with a guy by the name of Nathan Fenno.
Okay.
Down in Cooperstown. He's the president of the Susquehanna. But I don't know what else. I mean, they were all intermixed, Conrail.
Yeah, yeah.
CSX.
But there's some investor that has started to buy up these little spur rails, whether it be the Susquehanna, the Finger Lakes... They're looking to buy this according to ESDC.
You know, my reaction to this is that, you know, if this was $260,000, I would say, oh, geez. But $26,000, it's a one-time shot, and it's doing the right thing. It's getting ourselves connected. What are we? I mean, I'm not saying that we should sign this thing tonight, but it's not that out of the.
It's not an insurmountable number. That's why I kind of bring it. I mean, if we could. Because we do have, money in the to pay for the portion for West Entry Road pump station in the sewer district budget. So if we split that in half between the West End or the Radisson Sewer District and the Highway Garage, we're down to $13,000 out of pocket for the Highway Garage, which isn't a huge number.
No, and they should have internet access.
And it solves our communications problems.
Yeah.
Better internet and phone service. And it's literally $13,000, which we have in this year's buildings budget. But with that being said, you know, it's something to think about. It's not anything that we have to do tonight, but like I said, there's more than adequate funding in the Radisson Sewer District to do to pay for their half of it, and then you know, either buildings. Actually, we found about in the IT budget in and of itself, we saved $3,800 in the server upgrade by knocking out some of the office licenses that he had in the proposal, and our computer upgrade keeps getting lower. Actually, Lenovo just literally like a half an hour ago sent me over another quote that beats the HP price, so I'm probably going to ask you to table resolution B, no, D.
D.
Resolution D for tonight, just because I want to review. It's a different processor than what was included in the HP package, and I want to review this it's an AMD Ryzen 5 Pro 24G processor, and it's one that I'm not familiar with. It's a relatively new product that only came out at the beginning of 2019, and I just want to run it by our IT folks before I recommend it. But that saves about $15 a machine, which isn't huge. But we had $19,000 in the budget, and the HP quote is for just over $13,000. So between those two things, we're about $9,000, a little over $9,000 under budget on that project already.
Great.
And hopefully the labor, we save a little bit of labor on the server install as well. He said that he'll bill that on an hourly rate, so that proposal is a not to exceed number. So hopefully we come in good shape on that.
Yeah, I had two questions regarding the agreement for the school district.
Sure.
The first one is, and I didn't see this when I went over it, so I'm assuming there is none, but there's no limit on how much, if anything, we need to purchase from the school district, right?
No.
No? Whatever we use, they'll charge us for.
Another update on that.
Were you talking about the fuel depot?
Yes.
They upsized it specifically to handle other municipalities.
So this intermunicipal agreement it needed to be revised because this was the village's one they just sent over. So the village stores the salt for the school district in their salt barn. I floated an idea to Jamie today, rather than us paying the 5% compensation fee, I asked him how they're going to salt their parking lot at the new bus garage. And he said, well, they don't really have a plan yet other than they might drive a pickup truck with a salter over to salt because they're going to store a small loader with a push plate at the new barn to do snow removal. But they don't have any plan right now for how they're going to salt. And I asked if they might be interested in us putting salt down in their parking lot in exchange for the 5%
administrative fees.
I mean, the 5% administrative fee was to us penny a gallon. And they're paying about 15 cents less a gallon for diesel, so it's the penny a gallon.
Well, they already had a way for us to not pay.
Oh, no, that was actually for the village because they were village.
Nina's gonna print out.
Oh,
there was one spot in there,
yeah, number four. So it says
the last sentence,
yeah, however. In this instance, the school district agrees to waive the administrative fee in exchange for the town allowing the school districts to use town facilities for storage of rolled salt at no cost to the school district. We don't have a way to, we put too much salt in our barn to really segregate out what the district is using.
And they're fine with
that. Yeah, and they plan on still keeping salt in the village's barn
for the
highway. So, and then he said he had to talk to his maintenance people, but he didn't think that was a bad idea, what I suggested. And from a salt usage, what are they going to use? If we use 3 tons of salt in that parking lot of the...
Well, we're going there anyway.
Exactly. Like I said, if we use 3 tons of salt over the course of a winter, I'd be surprised.
So numbers, though. How many gallons of gas do we burn every year? Do we figure that approximately?
About 60,000, I believe.
At a penny a gallon.
It's about $600.
$600. And that's What are we paying? What are we paying a ton in salt?
I think $68 a ton this year.
That would be fine.
Sort of, except that it is an inconvenience for our drivers.
Right? How's that? They're driving up and down Brundage Road and West Entry Road as well. All they got to do is make the loop through the parking lot.
Well, and I want to make sure.
What's that?
If the gate is.
Well, they have they'll have a keyed access.
They've got to get salt anyhow, so that's all right.
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't know because I'm driving the truck, so I don't know if it's a headache to go in there, use some of the salt on their parking lot, and then head out and do their route because they're always complaining. Why are they putting so much salt in the back of those trucks? Because they don't have enough to make it all the way around.
Well, I was going
to
say, this is 400 yards from a barn.
So
I understand. I'm just
you just make, the, trying make to sure think it's like, Radisson a, like route, one of those drivers. Radisson route, salts, Radisson.
We have, of our routes, four of them go right by that location.
They are all going over there to get fuel.
Yeah, they're all going to go there to get fuel. It's a.
Actually, have you seen our yard when we load those salters? Check it out. You guys have. You guys have road wing. You've seen it.
Yeah.
That's not going to be a big bird.
I want to make sure I understand this correctly. This gives the highway superintendent the opportunity to use the school district. It's not forcing the highway superintendent.
No. He can just keep spending more money if he wants. Town can start spending more money.
But our next move should be to decommission the fuel pilot.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, the bottom line is, so in addition, we did some research this week to find out how much our liability coverage was being affected by the fuel tanks. We found out we don't have any liability coverage for our
we have liability coverage. We don't have pollution.
We don't have environmental liability, which is
that's the important part.
Which is
so if someone blows themselves up, we're covered.
Yes.
But if we spring a leak,
we're not covered and we could be on the hook for hundreds of thousands of dollars in remediation costs.
Okay. So have we talked to Hank Chapman about that?
I just sent the application back there. Dave just sent the application back today.
Here's the other thing.
Are we going to act on this tonight?
I would like to.
With changes?
With changes. I would like to, for the simple reason that it doesn't obligate, although I think truly it should. It will obligate us if we determine as a board or the future board determines that they want to do away with the fuel facility. But if that gives you the opportunity to do away with your fuel facility and have an excellent alternative.
Right. I mean, right now,
there's no way for us to audit our gas usage.
Well, part of that is practice, though. Part of the reason why we can't audit our gas usage is because whoever the first one in line is turns the pump on and just leaves it running, and they all fill up, and then the last guy puts the pump back on the hook because they don't want to go through the trouble of punching in
the day this comes online, I don't understand why we wouldn't turn our gas pumps off forever.
Well, we want to empty the tanks first.
But I mean, no, there's no option to use our gas tanks anymore. We're not doing it.
It's 400 yards.
That's not
down
my.
The
that's not my decision not to make. Decision. Yeah, but
Van Buren drives to the Camillus DOT facility, which is 3 miles away from their barn, to get gas. I think we can go 400 meters. It's a state-of-the-art facility. It's secure. We don't even lock our facility during the week. It's secure. You'll be able to monitor fuel usage by vehicle, which we don't do right now. You'll probably have David Raleigh will probably have remote access to their database to figure out how much real time we've spent in gas.
And in what vehicles?
If we need additional gas, we can buy
an auxiliary tank.
An auxiliary tank.
We already have one that we currently use. If we need another,
what do you mean auxiliary gas?
For small engine stuff,
if you got a mower.
If you're working remotely with the loader or the backhoe and you need to fuel it up, you can drive the truck out there rather than driving all the way back.
Above ground tank?
Yeah, we could put an above ground 250 gallon tank in if we needed to for small. And we can still purchase fuel off our contract to fill that if we wanted to. If we bought a 250 gallon above grade.
Well, if we have a mobile tank, we can go to the school district.
Fill it up and. Yeah, I mean, it's a...
Yeah, it's it. everything makes sense.
Oh my goodness.
Not having to renew our bulk storage fuel permit.
Which expires in March.
Not having to insure it. Not having to buy a new software program to monitor the fueling.
How much does that permit cost?
The DEC waives the fee for municipalities.
Okay, so there's no
fee. Yeah, no fee. It's a headache.
Every
year we're going to have to do spill bucket testing like we did this year that end up costing us $7,000. Every year we have to do that testing now with these new recs. So we're...
That's the one that didn't get done.
Roman, just from experience.
Gene had
underground tanks. The last thing you want to ever have to have is an underground tank that you own.
Experience here, Andy Dryden, during his tenure, bought the facility on Route 370. It was
Niagara Mohawk.
No, what's the other power?
New York.
State Energy and Gas.
Yep, they owned it. We bought it for $500,000 as is, knowing that there was a tank there. Still made out, but we fiberglass tank leaked. We were lucky that it was encased in clay. We still had to remediate it. We yanked it out. I don't know, $10,000 or $15,000 to clean the site and do it right. But you know, before that, we were using the school district's fuel depot, and it's not even close to what they're going to be running in a month or two. As far as advanced, they specifically designed it to handle snowplows. They run snowplows. Six-wheelers. I don't think they have a 10-wheeler.
What kind of pushback is Jerry going to give us?
I'm not going to get in his head, but my guess is that most elected highway superintendents get into this parochialistic, it's here, I can control it, it's convenient, why change it? And I'm sure he's going to hear from his guys a million different reasons why this isn't going to work. But, you know, I think it's this board's responsibility to take a look at how practical it is, the cost savings, and we're always talking about intermunicipal relationships. Well, with those come trade-offs. Mm-hmm. You might have to drive 400 yards down the road to get to your gas.
Right.
You know, there's no issue as far as waiting for gas.
But you no longer have to inventory it. Control it.
I'll tell you right now.
Test the spill buckets and everything every year.
We would fail a state audit.
Yes.
If the state came in right now and said, okay, how are you monitoring your fuel? How are you securing your fuel?
I had a conversation with Jerry this afternoon, and he took a 10-wheeler and a 6-wheeler over, and they drove around, and it fits. It all works. He was very happy with the setup.
Good.
He wanted me to make sure I scratched this sentence that said
about the storage.
The salt storage.
Yep.
Obviously.
But he didn't know about the sanding.
And
the
I bounced that off of.
I wouldn't even put that in there.
So we could amend that later.
You can amend it. This is an agreement that goes year by year. That's the beauty of intermunicipal agreements. They're not marriage contracts. You just adjust them, you improve them every single year.
Yeah, I mean, let's see what Jamie said. He wanted to talk to his maintenance folks. To me, and it's not like we got to salt that parking lot like we salt the roads. If we hit it once in the morning, or once at the end of the day on our way, you know what I mean.
It's not getting used.
It's not a high speed.
1 year though, but what I'm reading is five. So is that for just the?
You can change it.
Okay.
It's 5 years. You can't sign an intermunicipal cooperative agreement more than 5 years.
Okay.
It's such a good deal for us on the 5%, the fact that we're paying a penny a gallon, and given what gas prices could do, I would lock it in.
Me too.
And if you want to renegotiate something, you just
open it up.
Well, what I like about it is the fact that it's currently not binding the highway superintendent. It gives him time to get his feet wet, see if it works, and then if we have to make some changes, we could always go back to the school district.
It's kind of a no-brainer. If they are game for letting us salt their parking lot, that's even more of a savings, quite frankly. We use about 60,000 gallons of fuel a year. That's about $600. we're not going to use more than 3 ton of salt on that parking lot in winter. There's no way. There's no way. It's not even 250 yards of pavement through the whole site. It's not like you're parking salt in every spot where the buses are parked. You're just doing the
lanes.
The lanes.
I did notice there's employee parking lots.
Well, yeah, I mean, all we would be doing is the main lanes in and out. I mean, I don't see why we would necessarily need to, unless we had an ice storm or something, and then, you know, you could run through the employee parking lot.
Yeah, I would. I wouldn't even include that. Use that as a sweetener in the future for next year. And if you want, sign a 1 year.
No, let's do the 5.
I mean, I would lock it in at 5 years, given what gas prices can do in 5 years.
But are we scratching this? Yes.
Yeah, that last sentence would come out.
There's also on page 3, if you guys have a revised version, go to page 3. The first sentence in section 13 says village, if you don't have a revised copy.
Yes, it does.
All right, change that to town.
Page 13?
Yes.
13. Yep. It's all the way over there on the left. You see the word.
Did you talk to Dina about that?
Yes.
Does she have it?
Well, she put all the stuff on my. Let's see.
So the one she's going to bring you to sign is going to have these changes.
Yep.
Is she going to knock bullet number 4 entirely out?
No, four doesn't come out entirely. Just
no,
that
just
sentence.
It's the last sentence.
It's not the last sentence. It's the.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's the.
However.
The third sentence in the paragraph.
It's from however. In this instance, the school district agrees the way the administration that gets whacked.
That's the sentence that gets back. It's the third section, it's item 4 of the agreement.
Yep.
To the school district.
Right.
Yep.
And then in 13, village goes to town. So here's the other thing that, you know, for the board members that are going to be here in the future, I know there was concern about where this bus facility was going to be located. From a location standpoint and railroad tracks and traffic. But what I would ask you to do is this intermunicipal cooperative agreement could be the tip of the iceberg as far as future agreements that you could craft with the school district. When I say that the school, when they designed this building, designed it to not only be a fueling facility for multiple municipalities, they also designed it so that it could act as a repair facility for multiple municipalities.
Mechanic bays,
lifts. They have mechanics on staff. Many times are looking for work because, you know, they're constantly being reviewed by state. They need work, and they're working on international trucks. We have international trucks. They have state of the art equipment, and so there may be opportunities for us to have repairs done there. Now, of course, the school would have to put together a proposal, but when I spoke with Mr. Rodems, he was pretty certain that what he would charge from an hourly rate and certainly on
parts
would beat the pants off competition, and it's right down the road.
It might work out.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
So keep looking for opportunities.
In and of itself, that saves a lot of time taking the truck to a garage and picking it up. And
yeah.
So
it's a big deal. It's a big deal having that facility down the road.
We've waited weeks for trucks at stadium. I mean, weeks.
Oh, right.
Weeks to get them back.
Here's another example. So we had a loader, an old loader. I think we still have, when I say we, the village, had an old loader.
Yeah, I think they just replaced it.
Did they just replace it?
Yeah, just last year.
All right, well, it was old when I was there.
Yeah, they just replaced it.
So that was like 6 or 7 years ago. The school district had some time, had the ability, sandblasted the whole thing, repainted the whole thing. When they rolled it out, it looked like a brand new piece of equipment.
Yeah, put all new pins in it, redid all the hydraulic lines.
I mean, it was amazing. So there's definitely opportunities. I would just, you know, try to, you know, keep a a close relationship. It's a large municipality. It's a municipality that has over $100 million in its budget. It dwarfs us. They have resources. They have resources from IT standpoints. They have resources from...
Yeah, they farm all their IT out to BOCES.
BOCES. So
that's the problem. I don't know if we can enter into an agreement with BOCES.
We can.
We can.
Yeah. But I looked into that. BOCES didn't seem interested to bring on additional work at the time.
Okay.
So, but no, that's exciting. What else? Yeah, I guess that's it. Any questions on any of the items on the...
Well, you just have Bob Ellis and I introducing that last thing, the Canton Woods. We've never identified people before introducing
the last one.
E.
Oh, E?
I mean, I'm more than happy to move it.
I don't know. I didn't put that on there. Dina. Dina.
Oh, because I don't know if you know, it's sort of... Like,
you know what she did?
What?
Because this is an annual agreement that we've done for 40 years in a row.
She copied and pasted it.
We should make a note of that. But it doesn't. Bob and Bob do not have to move it in seconds.
Let's switch it up this year, all right, guys?
All right. Then she'll have to change her names.
So
do you want to move it, or should we move it?
Well, I think you guys should move it.
Okay. I don't mind.
So a little bit of background on that. There's been an ongoing effort, and it seems as though the concern is coming from Van Buren. There was an audit done this year. Van Buren requested an audit done on the books of Canton Woods, which is totally within their right, and it's nothing that should startle anybody. It hadn't been done in a while, so it was good. Nothing was found to be out of place. It was, but some questions were raised as far as the 501c3. How did it operate? There's this other group called an activities group that has its own set of bylaws. But I'll have David Raleigh confirm this tonight. The money that we provide Canton Woods to operate, both Van Buren and the town of Lysander, those funds were found to be utilized properly. As far as the agreement that I'm asking the board to approve my signature this, we are completely satisfied that the agreement that we have in front of you protects the town's interests as far as the money that we provide that facility to function. And I've said it a million times, I'll say it again, Canton Woods is a model for intermunicipal cooperation. That is a facility that's existed for over 40 years as an intermunicipal cooperative effort. And the services that facility provides is
it's
amazing.
Huge asset to the
community. Meals on Wheels rolls out of there. It could be so much more.
So I'm just not understanding. So what was the concern Van Buren had?
So I put in your mailbox. There's a list of concerns that the comptroller and I think their board had as it related to the 501c3 and how the activity group operates. The 501c3 is a board that we have a representative in Mr. Councilor Gerasi. I sat on it when I was a trustee in the village of Baldwinsville, and I believe Howard Tupper is the representative from Van Buren. On that board, that board basically helps run programming for the facility. The employees, the director and the assistant director, those are village employees. But the board takes what would just be a shell of a building with a couple people managing the building and turns it into a vibrant organization that provides great services for the seniors of Greater Baldwinsville. And I just think that this agreement, we've tweaked it a little bit. We added the 501c3 in the language so that there would be some more reporting from that group. But I believe more than covers any fiduciary responsibility we have to make sure that the taxpayers are getting bang for their buck.
Did the town of Van Buren approve the agreement?
No. They've got some concerns that they listed out.
Right, so they, okay.
But I think that goes beyond that. I think those are concerns that the village, as the owner of the facility and manager of the facility, should have with a 501c3 that works within their facility.
That was my next question, is who's supposed to answer these concerns?
That will, those will work themselves out in time.
So the way I look at it, Roman, is all we do is provide funding in a three-way agreement. The owner and the manager is the village of Baldwinsville. And in fact, I would feel uncomfortable at in terms of micromanaging the organization. That would be like telling the village of Baldwinsville, you should do it this way. You know, all we are is a funder. Like, we would be like a granting agency in that sense. So I don't quite understand what Van Buren's concern is, really. Because it's much, we're talking pennies, literally pennies. And there's three levels there. You've got the organization that's run by the village of Baldwinsville, and that is Canton Woods. The board is the 501c3, and it's basically an advisory board, because I go to the meetings are once every 2 months, and it's advisory, like, what's everybody doing, how's everybody going, you know, that kind of thing. And it's just to kind of give Ruth, the director, some guidance and some suggestions, and most of the time it's good job, Ruth. And then the third group is a bunch of people that get together to actually run programs, and I guess they've figured out a way to, you know, sell Christmas wreaths that I just bought.
Well, I don't know if the mayor's wife, Linda Clark, has put together a community calendar that you can buy for $20.
Yeah.
And the proceeds go to Canton Woods. Now, I don't know if it goes to the activities group or if it goes to Canton Woods. There's two different entities you can donate to, Canton Woods proper or the activities group. I'm assuming that it's going to Canton Woods. But all good stuff. And nothing if Dave's here now.
They're all working toward a common goal.
And they're all working towards a common goal. So, I mean, David, in your audit of Canton Woods, was there anything that concerned you at all, or would?
Well, you have to remember, we only audited the one piece that concerns the town.
Right.
The agreement that the two towns have with the village, and the funding that we provide to them, and is that money being spent appropriately? We didn't look at the 501c3 because we don't have that authority. We didn't look at the activity group or whatever you want to call it, because we don't have that authority either. They're separate entities.
So do we have, let me see. No, I guess you're trying that.
But the charge in our agreement that we have with the three municipalities is that we would audit the records of the village that pertain to our agreement. So how are they spending the $66,000 that we give them?
Right. And we found that that's being properly applied.
Very good.
Right? Cool. Have a brief recess before the 7 o'clock start.